Hello everyone, welcome back to Dragalia Lost and Found. This is episode 3. We have quite a lot to talk about today, including part 2 of the summer event, Valentine's in August, and a lot more. Joining me today, as always, is my co-host. Go ahead, introduce yourself.
Hello everybody, it's me, it's PokemonTrip HD, and I am glad to be back. This is actually the first episode that is only on Log's channel, so we're making progress. Episode 3, it's super exciting, super happy, and I'm just glad to be here.
Of course, and yeah, we got a lot to talk about today, but not too much to where hopefully we're not over an hour long like we were last episode.
Oh yeah, last episode.
And we also are going to be answering a viewer question. So guys, make sure to leave some viewer questions down below so we can answer them, and we'll even give you a shout out on the podcast.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's get started. Do you want to introduce our first topic?
Yeah, so let's introduce this. The first part is Summer Part 2. Oh, the first part is Summer Part 2, A Crescendo of Courage. So this was a brand new facility event that we had. Of course, I say brand new. We've had a facility event before, but this facility event actually introduced Nightmare Mode for facilities, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool Part 2. I feel like Part 1 was more on the disappointing side. This was definitely the better of the two raid events, in my opinion, or the two summer events, in my opinion. We got some new worm prints and a new banner, so we can talk about those real quick. And I personally think that the new worm prints were actually really nice. So we had Seaside Princess and the Bustling Hut. Seaside Princess was kind of power crept Evening of Luxury in a way, with full HP equals strength plus 15% and full HP equals critical damage plus 22%, being probably one of the best worm prints in slot for Mercurial Gauntlet and things like that. And then we also had Bustling Hut, which gave light skill haste plus 7% and strength double buff plus 8%. Pretty interesting worm print, but nothing, you know, too special. Do you want to talk about the new units real quick?
Yeah, the units. As for the units, we've had, of course, Summer Cleo, which kind of came out of nowhere. Like, nobody expected Summer Cleo to come here. Right after Galacleo, like, what was it, 2 weeks after, I think? So it came out of nowhere, but we got Summer Cleo. And let's talk about Summer Cleo before we talk about the other ones first. So Summer Cleo's kit, I have it pulled up. I don't know if you have it pulled up as well.
I do.
Okay, so her kit, I'll talk about her skills, you talk about her ability. So her skills, first up is Parasol Shot, which deals light damage to and inflicts paralysis to the target and nearby enemies, and fires extra shots equal to the number of buffs the user has. So this is kind of like Galacerise's skill one, you know, the attacking skill, and it deals more damage if you have more buffs. But this one only has a maximum of 4 shots, but with her skill 2 Tropical Breeze, she can actually, for 10 seconds, increase the user and nearby ally strength by 5%, crit rate by 3%, and skill damage by 10%, and skill gauge fill rate by 10%. So that right there, that's 4 buffs alone. She pretty much buffs herself, which is actually really solid, but you do have to keep in mind, you're going to get that skill 2 off maybe once every 2 or 3 times you get the skill 1 off, so you're not always going to have that buff, and again, it's a short buff. It's to you and to nearby allies, but it's pretty neat how her two skills combine together, and it's actually had a lot of potential with these two skills, but since Log's going to talk about her abilities right now, this is kind of where she falls off, so go ahead and take away.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you just look at her skills, she has a very impressive kit with great synergy, but once you get into her abilities, yeah, like you said, things start to kind of fall off. Her first ability is Paralysis equals Skill Haste plus 10%. Essentially increases the skill gauge fill rate by 10% for 20 seconds whenever you paralyze an enemy. There is a 5-second cooldown on this, so you can't just spam it, but it kind of makes her rely on an ailment, and I don't know about you, but I personally do not like kits like this. We've seen this with like Wedding Aoi, for example, I believe, and I'm just not a fan of these abilities. And her next ability is Paralyzed Punisher, again relying on being able to paralyze the opponent, which it's just not gonna always happen because some opponents just won't get paralyzed.
Yeah, like, and then her last ability, Dragons, of course, we don't know if the High Dragons will get paralyzed, like High Zodiark. We don't know yet. We have to wait till it's released to actually know for sure.
Exactly. Like, we can assume that High Zodiark can get paralyzed, but again, just an assumption. And she also does have Curse Rest, making her, hopefully good against High Zodiark. But
hopefully
then again,
viable.
Yeah, hopefully viable, but we'll have to see. But I know this character has been kind of mixed in terms of reception, and I personally am on the negative side of things. I don't think she's actually that good, unfortunately.
Yeah, I agree completely. I mean, she herself is fine. Like, there's nothing really bad about her except her, you know, her abilities. Her two skills are great. Her abilities kind of don't really boost her up more like other adventurers with, you know, more useful abilities that can actually be used in every single content. But you have to remember that Galucleo exists, and if you have Galucleo, and you know, there's really no reason to use Summercleo over Galucleo, you know, and things like Mercurial Gauntlet, Galucleo just provides way more to the team than Summercleo does, and of course, you can't use them both on the same team. So that's why Galucleo is just better than Summercleo in every situation, which is really, we would say, her biggest downfall.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, that's her biggest downfall, and that's pretty much it in terms of Summercleo. She's okay. She's definitely not bad.
She's definitely not bad.
She's underwhelming considering we just got Galucleo, which is pretty disappointing in my opinion. But, you know, moving on to the next unit, we actually have Summer Verica. Do you want to talk about
Summer
her really
Verica? Oh, but her design. Oh, her design.
Oh, dude, yeah, top tier design for sure.
Oh, her design is great. You could see she took some thought and effort into piecing this together. We didn't even think she was going to be in this event, you know, in part one. And then she just showed up on the island like, what's up, Yuden? So she's here. She's a Shadow Staff, which is already, you know, we have Heinwald, who's a great Shadow Staff, especially for High Jupiter. You know, it's mainly about DPS. Heinwald has that DPS. How does Summer Verica compare to Heinwald? Well, her two skills, we're not really going to discuss the first one. It's just a good heal. Very good heal, you know, just like Verica's normal heal, you know, in her normal alt. So, but skill two is actually Moment of Passion. Grants all teammates a buff which restores their HP by 5% of damage inflicted for 30 seconds, which is really interesting, actually. It's kind of like, I've been hearing people call it a vampire effect. So you deal damage and you restore your HP, which I think is a really, really cool ability, right?
Yeah, I actually really enjoy this. I think it's a good step for healers because, you know, we always complain, oh, healers, this is a DPS meta, healers aren't really needed. Well, this kind of almost rewards a very heavy DPS team. You know, if you have her and then a bunch of great DPS dealing shadow units, like, for example,
there's so many in shadow.
Galucleo, Natalie, like so many. Then this is gonna be a great little skill that will let you regen a lot of health. Which,
yeah, especially
yeah,
as you know,
a pretty big fan of.
The units just get stronger and stronger as time goes on. So this skill is only gonna get better and better as healing. So just these two skills alone make Summer Verica probably one of the best healers in the game, to be completely honest, because she can heal so much. Also, didn't mention, but her skill two, it kind of fills gradually, just like Albert's skill two. So you can't really just charge it by your, you know, by attacking. You kind of have to wait for it to get fully charged, which is a little interesting. You know, we haven't really seen much of that besides, of course, Albert.
Mm-hmm, yeah, it does take a pretty long time to charge, so keep that in mind. But otherwise, yeah, pretty good kit. In terms of her abilities, full HP equals healing plus 20, recovery potency plus 13%, and blind res plus 100. I guess, like, the worst part about her is that she has blind res, because there's, like, no reason to have blind res at the moment. But other than that, like, she's just a solid healer. Nothing for me to get excited about because, I don't know. I just feel like I don't need any more healing aside from the Heinwald I already have.
Yeah, but, Heinwald,
you know,
is just so great.
She's good. Yeah, if you get her, she's good. But nothing I'd personally summon after, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, yeah, nothing to chase after because Heinwald gets the job done perfectly well on High Jupiter. Again, prior res with him, so she's great. But on to the next one.
Yeah, do you want to talk Summer Luca?
You talk about Summer Luca, actually. I'll talk about Siren.
Okay. Summer Luca, let's keep it nice and simple because he's got a pretty simple kit. He's got a damage dealing skill 1. His skill 2 is where things get interesting, though. It's Summer Spirit. Essentially, it gives him access to energy. He increases his energy level by 1 stage and his attack rate by 20% for 10 seconds. I actually quite like attack rate boosting skills because attack rate is just even more DPS. Like, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, attack rate is really good because it's more DPS and you're going to charge your skills faster, which adds even more DPS. So it's just a really good thing.
Exactly. It's like just a downward spiral of just increasing DPS. And then his abilities, HP 70% equals strength plus 10%, and then extra energy. Extra energy, 40% chance to proc a user's energy level to increase the user's energy level by 1 additional stage upon being increased once beforehand. So it does have kind of like a risk factor, like only 40%, but if it does activate, hey, extra energy, you can't really complain about that.
Yeah, it's just extra DPS there. And also, his first ability, the strength plus 10% when HP is at 70% or above, if only Summer Cleo had that, she would be so much better.
Yeah, for real. I think that's one of my favorite abilities in the game, just something like just a raw strength or skill damage boost. I think those are some of the best just consistent abilities in the game.
Yeah, so Summer Lucas kit overall, it's actually pretty decent. I see a lot of people undervalue him. I think he's actually pretty solid.
I mean, yeah, honestly, he was the one character I wanted from this banner, just because he's such a... I mean, it's Luca, but first Luca ult, you know? But, yeah, he's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, Luca ult, we didn't even say. This is Luca's first ult.
Exactly.
He's finally getting some recognition. Finally.
I know, about time. Seriously. Yeah, that's Summer Luca. Pretty nice little kit. Moving on,
we have Pop Star Siren. She already has an ult. She just came out, and she has an ult.
Yeah, for real.
This is actually a really nice ult, though. It's, of course, a different element. Her original ult was water, and this one is light. So how does she compare to, you know, Cupid? Cupid is, of course, right now the best light dragon in the game. How does she compare? Well, her first skill... Actually, let's talk about her abilities first, since her skill is kind of a lot to talk about. Her abilities, you know, Cupid has strength plus 60%, whereas Popstar Siren has strength plus 40%. So that right away, you're losing 20% strength, which is actually a lot of strength. That's like every single hit is going to be doing 20% less damage. Well, not necessarily 20%, but it's going to be doing a lot less damage than you would be doing before if, you know, you had Cupid. She also has Exhilaration, which, if the user is attuned to light, increases shapeshift time for the entire team by 3 seconds. The team shapeshift time can only be increased by a maximum of 5 seconds. So this is a really interesting one. We've never had anything like this, right?
Yeah, it's honestly one of my, like, one of the reasons why I actually wanted to summon on this banner, potentially. Luckily, I did... For some reason, I did have an urge, and I did, spoiler alert, I did get a Summer Siren, so I did get to test her out, but she's got a really cool kit, and I love her Invigorating Harmony skill a lot.
Okay, so let's talk about her skill. So, Exhilaration lets her shapeshift longer, which at first glance doesn't seem too good, because, you know, most dragons, you don't want to stay in dragon too long, you want to get back to your normal form, so you can start doing DPS, getting your skills up. But her first skill, Invigorating Harmony, increases the entire team's strength and defense by 20% for 20 seconds and increases their energy levels by 3 stages. It is possible to charge this skill's gauge by attacking and use it up to twice during one shapeshift. Wow. At first glance, it doesn't sound that good, but you have to realize that you can do this twice every single time you shapeshift. That is a total of 40% strength up and 40% defense up. And that's, you know, 2 separate defense buffs, which means you could also allow for double buff shenanigans, which, you know, there's a bunch of double buff prints out there that you can take advantage of. And this combined with, of course, Exhilaration means it's going to be very easy to charge up that skill and get the strength up buffs, the defense up buffs, and it's actually really, really solid. It allows for a lot of things. This is the reason you pulled for it, right?
Yeah, really just to test Invigorating Harmony out, and honestly, it's a lot better than I thought it was initially going to be. When we first saw this skill, when the banner was first previewed, I thought it might take a little too long for it to charge up, and it might be tough to pull off twice. Upon testing it, it's actually pretty easy to get off twice and still have enough time to do extra damage in dragon form, which is great. Unfortunately, she does have one flaw, and that's her dragon combo is one of the weakest in the light element, so... do keep that in mind, that you're not going to be dealing as much damage in your dragon form, but Invigorating Harmony alone is worth it for a spot on your team.
Yeah, it's going to make up for the DPS for the most part, as well as increasing, you know, the entire team's DPS. It's not just you. It's the entire team's DPS.
And the energy levels as well.
And the energy levels too. That's going to boost the entire team's next skill, which is even more DPS. So overall, it's really good. Also, you can use it off element, that skill. You won't, of course, have the abilities, but you could also, you know, just throw her on your Wind Adventure and then boost, you know, for the certain Mercurial Gauntlet that we're going to talk about soon, and boost up everyone's strength. So there's a lot of use for this, and she actually has a lot, like a really niche use that's different than Cupid and sets her apart. Of course, Cupid might be better for certain scenarios, but Popstar Siren is definitely not far behind, if behind at all.
Exactly, yeah. So overall, she was actually probably the highlight of this banner. And before we move on to our overall thoughts on the summer event, do you have any notable like daily summons that you got? Like, we can go over them real quick.
Yeah, so we actually got a lot of free summons. We had, well, like so many free summons just with this banner and with, you know, Valentine's, we'll talk about soon. We got, I think, like around 20 free summons, which is a lot. And that's not even including all the tenfolds and Wurmite they've given us out. But honestly, for myself, with the free summons, I don't think I got a single, like... I don't think I got a single 5-star. Oh, no, I did it. Okay, I got a Cupid. I lied.
Hey, that's actually, that's not bad. That's not a bad pull at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Cupid's really good. So I pulled Cupid. That was nice. But with the, they gave us like an expiration date ticket not long ago, and I did use that. And then I ended up pulling Popstar Siren, which we just talked about. So I got to test her out, see how actually good she is for myself. What about you?
So I'm actually looking at my history, because you can look at the history of like the adventurers and dragons you get. I did get a lot of nice goodies. So I initially did the single summons, and for some reason I had just this innate urge to summon on this banner the night it came out. So I did my free daily, and I was like, I really want to summon. So I used that expiring tenfold and actually got 2 5-stars off of it. And you're not going to believe who I got. I got Summer Cleo and Popstar Siren, which is insane.
And
I
Popstar
could not believe Siren. It.
You got them both
Double.
In a single tenfold, which is insane.
Yeah, with no rate up or anything. So pretty crazy. And then after that, I got a random student Maribel, my first new student Maribel, on a random single one of those days.
Student Maribel is actually really good.
That, she's actually pretty good, yeah. I mean, Galacleo kind of, you know.
Yeah, true.
We don't talk about that.
We don't talk about that.
But, yeah, no. but I also got, on another random daily, a random copy of Kanahana Sakia, which... that should have been yours, man.
Oh, I need her.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, gosh. Dude. I just randomly... And you know what the funny part is? I already have a Max Unbound one of her.
How could you?
Like, dude, I know. So I'm just going to... I'm going to keep her and just make another one eventually, because she's the best Flame Dragon at the moment. So pretty cool. In terms of... actually, in terms of nothing, really, I think that's all I got for that banner. But hey, I got out pretty good, you know?
You got out pretty good, if I say so myself. Also, since we're talking about summoning, Wurmprints are no longer summonable, but you can buy Wurmprints. And the new Wurmprints that came out with this event... Wait, we already talked about them.
We already talked about them. All good.
Oh, we already talked about them. Okay, yeah, we're chilling.
So, yeah, overall thoughts. What are your overall thoughts on both of the summer events? So, overall thoughts on the entirety of it. What do you think?
Overall thoughts. So, personally, I actually enjoyed the summer event. But, you know, you can only enjoy it for a certain amount of time, right? So
yeah.
There's a lot of things that kind of got me annoyed with the summer event. You know, Summer Cleo again, which, not again, but, you know, Summer Cleo after Galacleo, which is just like another Cleo, really. I love Cleo. Cleo's one of my favorite, you know, characters in the game, but too many Cleos is not really enjoyable. Also, you know, Prince, Power Crept, Evening of Luxury, like completely Power Crept. You get 7% extra crit damage just for staying full HP, which you're going to be at full HP anyways if you're using Evening of Luxury. So that kind of also got me a little bit angry. So overall, there's a couple things in the summer event which just, you know, didn't hit me right. But overall, I enjoy the summer events. But like I said, it also lasted too long. And so many things about it just kind of annoying. What about you?
I completely agree. I think the aesthetic of both the raid event and the facility event were actually very well thought out. They just lasted way too long. Specifically the raid event. The raid event lasted way, way too long. And the units that we got, honestly, upon reflection, just feel a little tame. Like, I'm glad we got a Luca alt, but did we really need another Randall alt? Did we really need another Cleo alt? Like, that one makes me almost upset the more I think about it. When you think of all these fantastic characters we have and we get another Cleo alt, like... Really?
Yeah, completely.
Really?
Also, with the alts, with Ranzel, another alt of Ranzel, and he's a 4-star, and the Luca alt is also a 4-star. Honestly, didn't I expect any of the main cast to get 4-star alts, to be completely honest.
Yeah. So, yeah, just overall, it was an event. Oh, we didn't even talk about the new facility we get, which is the bow and dagger facility.
Oh, right. So bows and daggers.
What do you think of that? Yeah, what do you think of, like, weapon-specific facilities?
So I actually think it's really nice, especially for bows and daggers, you know, being the worst weapon types in the game, easily worst weapon types in the game. So I think they really needed a boost, but this is not, you know, it's not going to be a permanent boost. You're going to get You're going to get these facilities for the other weapons in the future, probably. I think so. So it's not really going to make too much of a difference. And they really need to do something to change bows and daggers specifically, you know, changing their SP cost, changing their damage or something. I don't know what they're going to do, but I really do like the facilities. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, the facility is cool. It's weird that it only goes up to 5% on HP and attack. Like, the other facilities we get go up a lot more. It's only 5%, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's because the way it scales, but yeah, it's really weird.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it for the summer event. I'm glad it's over. It lasted way too long. But yeah, moving on. All right, we're back. Sorry, guys, we had to do a little bit of a cut there. But let's move on to Astral Raids. And Fragonoth is actually... he actually got rerun, the first raid boss. Very nostalgic for me. And yeah, Trip, what do you think? What do you think of this entire event?
So Fragonoth was, you know, nostalgic, like you said. I'm sure we both have our experiences with Fragonoth. Very first events, you know, the event kicked my butt, to be completely honest. But it was a lot of fun. I really did enjoy it. You know, like I said, promoting a different style of play about survivability. And I really do like Astral Raids, like you were talking about earlier. Astral Raids are super, super interesting how you need to use, like, you can use two healers on the team and your DPS is fine. You don't even need to use, like, DPS prints. You just use survivability prints. And I think it's really neat. The only downside is, you know, newer players can't beat Master, which means they're going to miss out on some augments, which really does suck, you know, specifically for the strength augments. I think Fragonoth was HP augments, though, right?
Yeah, he was HP augments, so... You know, it wasn't too bad if you missed out on it, but still, I mean, you want those stat boosters eventually.
Yeah, you do want to pick them all up eventually, but I really did enjoy the Fragonoth, and it was nice to kick his butt finally. And then also, the next Astral Raid boss is going to be Sabnok, which has been confirmed in-game, and it should be coming out, actually, it should have already be out by the time you guys are watching this, but it's not out when we're recording this, so I'm looking forward to that. It's going to be a nice fight.
Yeah, Sabnok should be cool. Hopefully he's not as hard as... Fragonoth, though. Hopefully we can have a little bit of a chill week and get those attack augments, which we can assume he'll give.
Yeah, we can assume it's attack for sure, because I think they're switching off every week. HP, attack, HP, attack.
Exactly. So, moving on. Now we've got to talk about... Oh, I'm so excited about this. New Mercurial Gauntlet. So, water levels 21 through 50 were released. I'll give you guys my quick thoughts on it and my team comp and where I am on it. So I completely cleared Water Mercurial Gauntlet. I cleared it day one. My team comp was Addis.
Day one.
Yeah, day one. Pro gamer here. My team comp was Addis, Maribel, Lin Yu, and Galacleo. Because, you know, it has to be. It has to be. And I had everybody had their elemental weapon, zero unbound. Everyone had a max unbound dragon. And everyone had fully leveled up Warren Prince. And I was able to
do it. What kind of dragons were you running?
I was running a Zephyr, I want to say Zephyr, two rocks, and a max unbound Shinobi. All of them were max unbound.
Okay, so some nice dragons there with Zephyr and Shinobi. But myself, I actually have not been able to clear water level 50. I'm still working on that because, you know, I don't have any max unbinded 5-star wind dragons, which is really hurting me. You know, I'm on level 48 right now and just barely missing the DPS mark. Which really does suck. I did promote Addis to 50 mana circles just because he's so strong.
Dude,
for this.
Dude, one of my new favorite adventurers, like, for real. He's so good.
He's ridiculously good. So if he's used in pretty much most clears for this, you know, you should be able to clear pretty easily if you have a couple 5-star dragons, max and bind, and an Addis. It honestly shouldn't be too hard. Also, a Galacleo would never hurt, right? It doesn't hurt.
Exactly. I mean, best unit in the game by far. By far.
Easily the best unit in the game. So if you have a Galacleo, if you have an Addis, just throw in two other members. Just throw in your throw in Rough Talia, aka Serena, and then throw in Naveed, and you should still get the clear. Actually, probably not. Don't do that. But you get the point. They're both really, really good together. And Addis bleeds. You do kind of need to get some RNG with his bleeds, depending on what setup you're running. But overall, I really did enjoy the Mercurial Gauntlet challenges and what they're doing with Mercurial Gauntlet. I think it's one of my favorite games, like game modes, in the moment. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. It's actually my favorite game mode because it's making me think about Dragalia Lost in a different way and making me use characters I initially just didn't have any interest in using just because I had no need to. Like, Addis, I didn't use at all. Like, I had him, but I didn't really use him. I didn't really invest in him. I 50MC'd him for this mode, and I'm so glad I did because he's one of my favorite adventurers now, just gameplay-wise. His kit flows so well together, and it's just so much fun.
Yeah, he's ridiculously good. And also, I like seeing the progression through Mercurial Gauntlet. You know, at first, when we got to, level 40, we were like, oh, this is so hard. How are we going to beat level 40? And now we have level 50 on all these elements that we're working on beating or beating. So I really do like the progression in Mercurial Gauntlet. You can actually see how you're progressing, which I really do enjoy. And I think it's a great addition to the game.
Yeah, I do hope that we eventually get Light Mercurial Gauntlet next month so we can use our OP Shadow Adventures. I honestly think it's going to be so easy. We have like Iyasu, Galacleo, Botan, like Natalie, like so many.
There's so many good ones. Yeah. Shadow is easily the best element right now.
Oh, definitely. So yeah, that's Mercurial Gauntlet, guys. Make sure to let us know your team comps and how far you've gotten in the comments and such. But moving on, let's check out, for some reason, in August, we got a Valentine's rerun, the Valentine's event. And we also got some Void Battles and some Endeavors to go along with it. So kind of some good synergy here on like clearing some Void Battles, getting some of those Valentine roses, and just enjoying the stories. What do you think so far, Trip?
Yeah, so I actually haven't been able to read the story so far. I'm waiting until I get, you know, like an hour of free time. I can just read them all. We'll read all the ones that are released so far. Of course, I think we have to wait a little bit for the older ones to get released. They actually changed the stories. They made it to like a summer Valentine's thing, right? I haven't really checked them out yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's like it's the exact same story, but they're just in like their summer outfits, and it's so weird because there's the story with Cleo and Elisanne. They talk about how like they're wearing aprons and stuff, and they're clearly not. They're wearing their like bikinis. And then there's one part where they're like, they're supposed to be cooking a cake for Yuden to show their appreciation. And instead of in the kitchen like they were in the original story, they're just in like this random cave. And it's like a big stupid meme. But yeah, I don't know why they wanted to do that other than getting a really, you know, close up look on all these summer units. But yeah, it's kind of a weird decision.
Yeah, I do think it's actually pretty cool though, because you know, if it was the exact same story for the older players, they probably wouldn't read any of them and probably dislike it, to be honest. But now that they actually changed it up a little bit, I think it's actually fine. It's kind of weird that it's in August though, like you were talking about. It's, you know, Valentine's in August, but apparently it's actually supposed to be like in Asia or something, they celebrate Valentine's Day in August. I don't really know the details exactly, but somebody was filling me in on this, so I just wanted to, you know, get that out of the way. It's not completely random per se, but it's still a little weird.
So yeah, to go along with the Valentine rerun, which by the way has some of the best rewards ever, you got like 3 champion testaments, you got some a golden key, you got a freaking the golden brick, like tons of great stuff, like dang. But along with that, the new Void Battles came out. We got Scalding Shroom and Twilight Hermit, along with a bunch of new endeavors involving those two and Void Jean d'Arc. And yeah, you can get your Void Seeds up and hopefully get some max bound Gold Fafnirs. I actually completed my Gold Fafnirs yesterday, and it's such a great feeling. Such a great feeling.
Can get so much more rupees from Avenue to Fortune now.
Yeah, yeah. I think I get like 60,000 almost per run now, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's basically double drops for Avenue to Fortune all the time if you're using the Gold Fafnir's Max and Bind. So you definitely should at least try to get 4 normal copies if you can't Max and Bind them. At least try to do that in the Void Shop. Also, speaking of the Void Shop, there's some limited trade-ins for the Void Shop, which you can use to trade in for the Gold Drops, which I do recommend you do. I think it's just like 1 in 1 to trade for a Gold Drop compared to like 30 of the Silver ones. You just do 1 in 1. So it's definitely worth doing that if, you know, if you want to build Void weapons, or even if you don't, I think it's nice to stock up on them. So you definitely should.
Yeah, and along with this Valentine's rerun, by the way, I mean the Valentine's banner, we don't have to spend too much time on these units just because this is a rerun. We have seen them before, but if we want to give our quick thoughts on each of them, you know, we'll go ahead. So Trip, do you want to start with Valentine's Hildegard?
Yeah, so we've already seen all these units before. We know how they, you know, perform in the meta right now, or however they are. We know for sure Valentine's Hildegard is one of the top tier waifus. We know that one. So if you want to pull for a top tier waifu, you got one right. If you didn't already waste all your Wormite for summer, you can pull for Valentine's Hildegard. She's really, really nice. Of course, these are limited, so if you want to pull for them, you're gonna have to pull for them on this banner. So again, if you want them, pull for them on the banner, even though I would personally say don't pull for them, because we do have the 1 year anniversary in a month, so you should not pull for them here and just save your Wurmite, in my opinion. But again, if you want any of these adventures, you're gonna have to pull for them here, because there's no telling when they're gonna come back. But Valentine Hildegard herself, she actually is one of the best healers in the game. I would say she's not as good as normal Hildegard, but of course she's a different element, so different content you use her in, and she's one of the best. You know, for HMS, she's the best if you have a good team at least. So overall, Valentine Hildegard is really, really good. You wanna take the next one?
Yeah, I also wanna say Valentine Hildegard, you know, not necessary if you already have Verica, like you were saying, but definitely, hey, waifu appeal. If you want her, get her now, because you don't know if they're going to rerun her again. We haven't had any double rerun banners. You know, this could be it. So pick her up if she's waifu for you. Moving on, though, the next limited unit. Of course, there are other raid ups like Navid and stuff, but we don't need to talk about him. Let's just talk about the Valentine units. And Valentine Zezalith, she's kind of, in my opinion, like discount Kala Cerise in a way. Her kit's very similar, but she is good, and I've seen her actually being used in Wind Mercurial Gauntlet because of her skill haste co-ability and the ability to inflict burn and reduce enemies' defense by 10% via her skill too. So she does have some debuffing potential. She does have some skill haste. So overall, not a bad kit, not a bad pickup. And if you do summon her while chasing other units on this banner, you know, don't feel bad. She's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, she's exactly like you said, a discount Cerise. If you don't have Gala Cerise, then Valentine Ezelith is the next best option for bows. Again, skill haste is nice. She brings a lot of utility to the team as well, like you were saying. So she's actually pretty decent. And of course, affliction changes soon, which means she's going to be even better. We have to wait to see how much better, but she will be better. And then next up on here is Valentine's Orion, which there really isn't too much to say.
Let me get him. This dude is the biggest meme ever. For some reason, they gave him curse res, which is usually, you know, for light adventurers. They gave him curse res. What the heck, Cygames? Like, makes no sense. The one thing I like about his kit, though, his skill 2, Sweet Protection, is a defense buff for the entire team. This actually has amazing synergy with characters like Ramona, who also have strength double buff. So, like, if you want to make a meme team with him, Ramona, and some other strength double buff characters, and, like, Warm Prince, like Valiant Crown, you can, and it's actually... It actually might be pretty pretty cool.
Yeah, because Ramona already has a lot of damage in her skill 1, and with all those buffs, you can get a huge skill 1 off with that. So I could see that working, but overall, his Valentine's Orion, definitely not too great. And again, he's a flame sword, super saturated pool. There's so many flame swords out there. And you know, you get Yuden for free. So exactly. There's too many of them out there, really.
And do you want to talk about Prometheus real quick? There's not a lot to say about him.
Yeah, Prometheus. So Prometheus is actually not limited, so you can pull him at any time. It's kind of weird how, you know, they just made Prometheus not limited. Well, they didn't just make it, but, you know, when he was released, he was the only one that wasn't limited on this banner, which was definitely weird. But he's not too great of a flame dragon. He does have some utility. Again, wind res. He's strength and wind res, so 50% strength and 50% wind res once maxim binded, which, again, has some utility, probably an astral raid that's going to be the most useful. But comparing some things like Cerberus, Konohana Sakya, he just doesn't really compare in terms of DPS. They just do so much better. Again, strength plus 60%, and then for Cerberus, as well as having, I think she burns and she defense down, right? So she's just a lot better in DPS. And then Konohana Sakya is just insane. So Prometheus doesn't really compare to them, but he's decent, you know? He's not terrible.
Yeah, he's definitely not terrible. If you're, you know, really wanting to get into high Midgard Stormer quick, or Midgard Stormer, sorry. If you want to get into that battle really quickly, or you're using a ranged unit and you're having trouble with the HP check, he's not a bad dragon, but, you know, I really wouldn't shoot for him, especially since he's not limited, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree. But something that is limited that you need to pick up is Chocolate.
Chocolatiers, hello. All right, go ahead. Tell him about it.
So I'm really hungry for some chocolate. Do you smell chocolate? I smell chocolate. So Chocolatiers is really, 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 I cannot stress this enough. It actually has a lot of utility that is not in the game right now. There is something similar. If you don't know what Chocolatiers does, it is 100% skill prep. So all your skills will be fully prepped at the beginning of a battle. It allows for a lot of utility. There is Sister's Day Out, which is up to 75%, I believe, if you four strike. But again, you're not going to be able to get that off in terms of high dragons before the blast goes off. So this is completely different utility. It allows for epithet clears that are, you know, way faster. And it's honestly one of the, I would say, most useful prints that are utility-wise. You know, it's not going to help a lot in terms of DPS for fights like HMS for DPS wise, but it's going to help you get some cheeky clears in, which, you know, for the veteran players, that's pretty much one of the funnest things that we do. So it's really useful for that, as well as that, like I said, empathy clears. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, grab at least one Maxim Bound copy, whether you buying it all with Eldwater or Maxim Bounding one with keys. Please get one. You're going to regret it.
Yeah, at least buy
don't.
A copy. At
exactly.
Least.
And some people are saying buy like 4 Maxim Bound copies. No, buy one copy Maxim Bound. And maybe buy like 2 or 3. Maybe like buy like 1 or 2 extra just in case. You never know when that skill prep 100 will be useful. But also keep in mind, there's a lot of characters that have skill prep within their kit. Especially a lot of the wand characters. So just keep that in mind. You don't want to buy like a ton just because there's characters that already have it, you know?
Yeah, so you don't want to waste all your like 70,000 Eldwater just to pick up 3 Maxim Binding copies. That's probably not going to be a great idea. You know, maybe buy like 1 or 2 extra copies so you can Maxim Bind them with keys later. But at least get 1 copy so you can Maxim Bind in the future. That's definitely a good thing to do, because like I said, so much utility in that. And yeah, I think that's all I have to say about it.
Yeah, and then there's also kind of not nearly as useful is another print called the Rose Prince. It features Leif. What it does, it has a Flame Affliction Guard 3, which resists afflictions up to 3 times per quest. That's pretty cool. Then Shield Prep 3 grants the user a 1-use shield that nullifies damage less than 30% of their maximum HP at the start of the quest. Very defensive print. Pick up at least one. I always pick up at least one limited worm print, because you never know. You never know when you'll need it. Like, for example, the New Year's print, it's called New Year's Day or whatever, actually had some use now with High Jupiter and having that light res. So, and, you know, everyone thought that was a trash print. I actually invested into it now just for that light res. So definitely.
Yeah, like Botan uses it perfectly.
Exactly. Right? So definitely always pick up at least one of these limited prints. And yeah, that's about it for the new prints in the shop.
Yep. Now, next up, we have the new update that is here, 1.11. So there's actually a lot to cover in this update, but we don't want to just cover every, just reach straight off of the update thing. So we're kind of just going to go over pretty quickly. There's basically a lot of improvements to the displays for, you know, buffs and debuffs, etc. There's a lot of improvements for that, you know, skills. It's going to show them grayed out if they're not ready, and then if they're ready, it's going to be in color. Overall, I really do like the changes here for, you know, buffs and debuffs. I think it's nice how you can see the percentage now. What do you think?
Yeah, I do. I think that was a part of the game that felt a little bare bones, where you don't really necessarily know how much you're being buffed and how long it's going to last for. I do like this change. I just think it makes the UI look even better. In terms of other things, the big thing in this update is autoable co-op quests, meaning once you queue up with your wings in co-op content, some content you'll be able to actually put on auto, which is very, very enticing. There's also people getting mad at this. I think this is just an overall positive. What about you?
Yeah, it's overall positive. Like, I don't know why people would be mad about this, because obviously you're not going to auto battle the high dragons. It doesn't really make, you know, you can't auto battle the high dragons really. So you're not going to be able to auto the high dragons anyways, because it only says for some content. We're assuming high dragons, astral raids, and probably like the higher end void battles, the ones that drop squishums, you probably won't be able to auto those ones. Maybe the void battles, but we'll have to wait and see, because, you know, the picture does show a void battle. So maybe void battles you'll have to auto, but overall, it's going to save a lot of time when you're just doing your dailies, like Imperial Onslaught. It's going to save so much time, and there's not really any negatives to it. Yes,
this
kind of slow down, like, player interaction, right?
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm just very excited. I really, really hope that IOs are autoable. If IOs are not autoable, this feature is dead to me. Like, I'm so tired of doing my double, when there's like a double drop on IO, I'm so tired of having to play through them all. Like, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm done,
like,
game.
When there's double drops, I think it's better to use wings than it is to use stamina when there's double drops, and then use stamina when there's half off, because I think half off makes it go down to 12. So it's like more, I think it's like every 12 you do, you get an extra run. So it's better to save your stamina for that. So, you know, to be super duper productive, you should use your wings when it's double drops. And now it's going to be so much easier to do that. So thank you, Cygames, for this. This is a great one.
Thank you. And then the next big thing, there were a couple other minor things they fixed, but the next big one is finally the Affliction update is coming out. Very hyped up. Hopefully some adventurers get a nice buff from this. If you don't know, it's essentially they're letting more affliction stack upon themselves, and you're also letting more afflictions inflict more than once, or just change how enemies resist the afflictions. So pretty cool. I'm glad it's finally happening, and
finally. It took long enough. They messed it up before.
Exactly, but that's about it for the for this update. There wasn't really anything else that's super major. Just some nice quality of life fixes. But yeah, what do you think of this update? Are you excited for it?
It's actually a pretty nice update. It's a lot of quality of life things, like you said. Like, they're adding some new Mercurial Gauntlet pictures, and like Mercurial Gauntlet changes to like how you play it, or not play it, but like how you can get to the next stage, etc. It's overall just a lot of things that make it easier to play the game and make it more convenient. You know, if you get a 5-star drop, it's going to show legendary now. There's a lot of convenient things which really do help out the game's life, I feel like, in my opinion. Again, autoing in co-op, it's going to be way more convenient for people to do that now, because I know some people have like 80 wings and they don't really have the time to play through and go through all those wings, but now they can just auto it. So like I said, it's going to be a super helpful update for a lot of people.
Definitely. So let's talk about, now that we're done with all the news, we're doing something new finally. We've been trying to get this a recurring topic on the podcast, but there's just been so much news lately. Finally, we had kind of a slower podcast within the news section, so we can finally introduce topic of the show. This is where we're going to be either going through one of our personal topics or answering a certain question that one of you listeners have asked us. And this time, thanks to Anonymous, is that how we're going to say it? Anonymous?
Anonymous, Anony Mouse?
Shout out to him for
Anony.
Ask, yeah, Anony.
Shout out to Anony. He's in the Discord, so we know him.
Yeah, shout out to him for asking what our favorite characters were, both for the male and female adventurers. And we took it kind of one step further. We're going to be talking about our favorite adventurers within gameplay, and with our favorite adventurers within just their character, just their story, or how they just how they act within their characterization. So I will go first. I'll talk about my favorite within gameplay, and then we can hear yours, Trip. So first off, for me, Gala Mim. I love how Gala Mim plays with her extremely quick skill 1. Her skill 2 is also very does very good damage, but her the core of her kit, being able to transform into a dragon and deal crazy damage, and then transform again and deal even better damage with High Brunhilde, it's just so much fun. She's such a unique character. There's no other character like her, and I just enjoy playing her so much. Next up for me,
she sounds like so much fun.
Oh yeah,
and you don't have equip High Brunhilde.
You don't have her?
No, I don't have her. Pepe hands. I really want her.
Rest in peace.
I want her so bad.
I think you do have this next character, Gala Cerise. I really enjoy Gala Cerise because she has a very combo-centered playstyle, and that kind of it makes you want to play a very active role in any battle you do. And I like her buffs and her buffs to the team. I think that she's a lot of fun to play, keeping a high combo count and getting that crits up and stuff like that.
Yeah, she's so strong.
Exactly. Yeah, best bow unit for sure. Then lastly, this is a very new addition to my list, Addis. So Addis, I really fell in love with this kit going through Water Mercurial Gauntlet. He just has such good synergy with his skill 2 and skill 1. His skill 2 allows his skill 1 to inflict bleed, and if you're quick enough and you know how to like auto force strike cancel or just roll and cancel the lag, you can actually inflict bleed twice with his skill 1 before the skill 2 buff resets. So it's kind of got some skill, player skill involved with him. So he's a lot of fun to play. I love inflicting bleed. He's a lot more fun to me than Iyasu, for example, another bleed dealer, just because his skill 1 that inflicts bleed comes out a lot faster. He's just
Iyasu's
really cool character.
So long.
Definitely. So tell me your gameplay favorites.
So my gameplay favorite, first up, I'll just say I also have Gala Cerise as one of my gameplay favorites because she's just so strong. She's the best bow unit. Bows are actually one of my favorite weapon types, even though they're really bad. They're one of the worst weapon types in the game, but I just like using bows. I really like using them, and Gala Cerise is, like you said earlier, the best bow. The combo between your kit is just, it synergizes very, very well, and I really do like playing with her. Next up, I have Xander, which is, make way for the king.
Make way for the king.
So Xander is here, and he's just so strong. You know, even in non-wave content, which is, you know, he has, I believe, Striker Strength. So even in non-wave content, without taking advantage of Striker Strength, his 4-strike boost is so strong. He's a sword, which means he's going to 4-strike often. He completely obliterates Overdrive Bar. And then even for facility events, like I said, Striker Strength, he's so strong for them. So he's definitely one of my favorites. I believe Azanier has cleared every single facility event solo so far. So that's just goes to show how strong he is in gameplay. I don't know if you have anything else to say about Xander other than make way.
Dude, no, Xander's so much fun, and he was necessary for my Fire Mercurial Gauntlet clear, you know, breaking that overdrive meter. So good.
Yeah, I believe you can get two breaks with Xander on the team. But yeah, Xander's just really good. Next up, I have Natalie. Now, I don't have Natalie, so I personally cannot speak too much from experience, but I just love the way she plays. I've seen so much gameplay. You know, she's soloed High Jupiter before with the help of co-abilities. Just goes to show how strong she is. And her skill one, I just love how you're flying all over the place. It looks like so much fun. I want to pull her. I'm so sad.
Yeah, dude, hey, speaking of Natalie, Iyasu versus Natalie on Pokemon Trip HD
Iyasu versus
channel. Iyasu versus Natalie. Hey, it's going to come out eventually. So go check
one
it
day.
Out.
One day. One day will one happen. Of these days.
But yeah, that's our gameplay favorites. All right, so now let's go into character favorites, whether we really like their adventure stories or we just think they're really cool characters. First up for me is Hawk. Now, Hawk sucks. Okay? He sucks. He's awful. But his character story is really cool. He's like this assassin known as the Reaper. He's got a really cool backstory. And he's just an absolute baller, and he's really entertaining character, and I wish he wasn't so booty. Next up,
yeah, I actually like his design a lot though.
Yeah,
his design is really cool. He has a hawk on his design, right?
Yeah, it's called like Duskborn or something like that. It's really cool. Moving on though, for my other character, Yue. Yue, you might not know her. She's kind of more of a low key character. She's a 4-star flame axe unit. And she is just such a ball of fun. She's like like this tribal member that like literally just likes to eat all day. In her adventure story, she actually out-eats Ranzel. And it's just, oh man, I just love her. She's so stupid.
I need to read her story. I haven't read, you know, Hawk's story or her story. So I really
definitely read both of those, especially Hawk's. His story is really cool. But yeah, Yue, she's just cool. In terms of like, you know, playing as her, I've never even played as her because she's not that good. But hey, she's very, very funny. And then Navid is my last character favorite. Navid's just chill, man. Like, his story's all about figuring out what love is. And it's just like, he's just a chill guy, man. He's got that Assassin's Creed vibes. He's just a cool, cool guy. And I totally ship him and Verica together. You know, Jewels of the Sun.
Oh, yeah, I think they were on, were they ever on Rate Up together? Oh no, they're on the print together. That's
dude,
what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, Jewels of the Sun.
Jewels of the Sun print.
Exactly. So those are my character favorites. I guess to answer Animus, his question, my favorite female is Yue. My favorite male is, I guess, Hawk or Navid. You can, whichever one I'm feeling that day. But yeah, what are your character favorites, Twiv?
So my character favorites are Mim. You know, just Mim, not Gallo Mim. Just normal Mim. I love Mim. She's so cute, and I love her design. I love her personality. There's a lot of people who are actually annoyed with her personality, but personally, you know, it's fan service, and I like the fan service. It's fan service I can get behind, just like the summer event. So that's why Mim is there. Next up is Cleo. Now, you know, I did talk about earlier how I kind of dislike Cleo having a lot of alts, which is a little weird if, you know, she's one of my favorite characters, but I don't want to pull for all the alts because, again, that's a lot of Wurmite. That's one of the reasons I don't like it, as well as, you know, if there's too many alts, you can't use them all on the same team, and it's just kind of meh. Overall, though, I love Cleo. She's one of my favorite units. I think she's actually my favorite female character, as Anani was asking. I think Cleo is my favorite female, and then my favorite male, probably Xander, I would say. If not Yuden, because, you know, Yuden, MC, then probably Xander. And then my other character favorites, every single waifu in the game is great, and then also Fort. Fort's not even in the game, but she's my favorite. So yeah, those are my favorite characters. And yeah, Fort one day is going to be in the game, but we don't know when.
Hopefully. So guys, let us know your favorite characters, whether it be gameplay or just within their character stories and you just like their design or something like that. Let us know. We're interested. We'll definitely respond in the comments and kind of have a discussion about it. I just think it's fun to hear everyone's answers and just the different types of characters that they personally enjoy for various reasons. But yeah, I think that's about it for the show, guys. We did not go over an hour. Round of applause. Let's go. We did it. And yeah, I guess next episode, we're going to be talking about all things anniversary predictions. It's going to be the anniversary prediction episode, along with any other stuff that happens from here to the next episode. And then hopefully, after that, we'll have the anniversary episode, which will be a lot of fun.
Yep, and we have big plans for the anniversary episode, so hopefully you guys are looking forward to that. And that's actually everything we're going to discuss. Again, if you have any questions, leave them down below. We will definitely answer them, whether it be either in a response, in a comment, or a response in a video, whatever the case is. Again, we're on SoundCloud if you want to listen to us there. We're on other places too. It's all in the description on YouTube. If you want to, if you know, you're listening on YouTube, in the description, you can check us out there. And yeah, log us out, log.
Hey, okay, so guys, you can check out Pokemon Trip HD's channel. It will be linked in the description. He also does a ton of Dragali Lost content, and you can check out episode 2 on his channel if you missed it. Of course, episode 1 is on both our channels. There should be a shared playlist, right, that we'll put them all in. So yeah, definitely go get caught up in case you missed episode 2 for whatever reason. And yeah, that's going to be it for us, guys. Thank you guys so much for watching, and take care.
Bye.